You know, it's a crappy book is Blockchain Revolution. It's a bunch of fluff for like 400 pages. God damn it. Everything's on the blockchain. I'm like, everything can be done now without the blockchain. It doesn't need the goddamn blockchain. Chus, good day.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Sorry. A little rusty here.
Good start there. So both of us are a little under the weather, so you have a cough. Mm-hmm. I am slightly getting a cold, so we'll see how this one goes.
If you don't hear me cough, our editor has done a good job.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll try to talk over your cough so she has a really hard time editing.
Cool.
Excellent. So today we are going to talk about our absolute love, Chus, for design research.
I love it.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
It's really the cornerstone of any good project.
It's my main reason for buying cameras.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to make a joke, but it was true. No. I think the main thing here is we're now going to get 15 minutes to blast design research, but then also give some positives on where we think companies can take research, why it is actually a very powerful tool, but why a lot of people misuse or misinterpret what design research is.
Just keep in mind, we're called Let's Fix Things, so yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to try to at least...
Break stuff is from a band you don't like, so let's fix
Awesome.
Yeah.
So actually within that realm, yeah, we obviously can't fix things on here, but at least we can give our thoughts on how things could be fixed in the future. So do you want to start this one or do I?
No, you can start. I'll just interrupt.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Chus, you and I have been working together for about 6 years. And during that time, we have done numerous what has been framed or presented as design research.
Yeah.
And this is usually 1 week, well, it can be anywhere from a few days to 1 week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks of going out into the field and doing interviews with customers or stakeholders, or, you know, whatever this might be, with the ultimate goal of better understanding the problem or the industry that our client has.
Yep.
And then developing insights based on the research and the interviews that we have conducted. And the idea is that we come up with insights that are valuable to the client, and that's why we're paid for things.
So these interviews can be either with stakeholders at the client or customers of whatever the client is selling.
Yeah, oftentimes with
even customers that the client wants to sell to that don't even have a market yet.
Yeah, I found oftentimes with stakeholders, it really becomes about alignment within the company. So the insights are more internal driven, and then with customers, obviously, you're looking for unmet needs or something along those lines. The reason I think why we want to talk about this and that we've referenced, you know, we've done many of these, is when we started Raft, one of the things that we've been very careful about doing is, I'll say explicitly not selling design research as part of longer programs unless we are actually conducting design research.
Yeah. Doesn't mean we're not doing interviews at the beginning of the project.
Yes, and so I'll break this apart, because what we have seen in these 6 years of working together is a lot of times what is called design research is simply immersion into a field or into a set of problems, but it really stops at basic immersion.
Yeah. And these sessions that we do, what we're now calling basic immersion, are actually super intense sessions. And that is actually exactly the reason why I think it's a distinction from design research. Because everything we're hearing is new. And so we're learning a lot as a team, but that doesn't mean that that is, per definition, things that have never been heard.
Well, for what you just said, it's new to us, right? As consultants, we end up being generalists. We work across different verticals, different industries. So we have to jump from healthcare to kitchen appliances, to logistics,
banking,
to finance.
Yeah.
And we can't know all of these in depth. So a lot of times what these interviews do, or what, you know, desk research or any type of research may do, is bring us up to speed on what this field is about. But as you said, this is all new to us. It is not necessarily new to the client that we are presenting it back to. And therein lies, I think, our biggest issue with this.
Yeah. I think we need to be clear, by the way, about design research. There's many parts of the project where this can be applied.
Oh, good call. Yes. Yeah,
we're now just talking about the front or the beginning of a project. It's not about testing a product that we already have or testing a future design, but it's really the start of the project when the scope and goal still has to be defined.
Yeah, so within design research, a lot of people will call this ethnography mm-hmm. or anthropological research or something of that nature, where it is really about the study of people and how people are interacting with products or environment around them. And that's why you end up doing these interviews, usually in context, so in somebody's house. You end up observing how people are going about their day or using a product. Sometimes there's a diary study. So even within how we're framing design research, which is this ethnographic research, there are still many, many methods within a toolbox of an ethnographer that they can pull out.
And I like that you're mentioning all of the methods there, showing actually how broad of a skill set it is that you're talking about. It's not per se like, hey, I can do design research because I'm a designer. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, and so I think that's our first point that we wanted to get across when we were pre-talking about this is, why do we bring this up and why do we feel this is worthwhile to have in an episode? And really, there's two things for us to look at that we want to convey and that we want people to reflect upon, especially designers. And the first one is that just because you're a designer does not mean you're a design researcher.
I'd like to be.
You'd like to be.
Yeah.
But guess what, Chus? It's a completely different skill set. It is a completely different discipline.
Yeah.
And just because as a designer, you have maybe qualities of empathy or you have qualities of observation does not mean that you have those qualities in such a way that you can accurately perform research.
Yeah, and I like the difference that we were discussing just before we started the recording. I feel that a design researcher is there to observe, take notes, and maybe distill those into insights, but the main thing that it's about is observations. Whereas a designer is supposed to act on observations and put a bit of opinion on there to create something new that might fit the problem.
Well, the designers are specifically tasked with solving a problem.
Yeah.
A researcher is observing a situation.
Exactly.
And such a critical differentiation.
And I think you would really muddy your research results if you already start solutionizing while you're still interviewing, because you're just going to sort of project your opinion on each newer interviewee and trying to drive them towards your solution.
You're going to hear what you want to see.
Yeah.
Right. And therein lies the crux of the problem. As a great design researcher or ethnographer is going to hopefully leave all those biases aside and come to research understanding maybe the vertical or the industry, but being able to separate out that understanding so that they really observe what's happening.
I think it's also valuable, therefore, to split up those roles in different people, because that way the design researcher can become the voice of the people that the research was done into, and he can keep on defending that while you look for a solution instead of you influencing yourself.
I absolutely could not agree more. I also think that it takes a special skill set to look at research and pull out appropriate insights that are actually these unmet needs or something that is interesting, new, or unique to a client that is not purely, hey, we found this thing that we thought was cool, and we're just going to sort of toss it over the fence to you.
Yeah.
So that was the first point, is really that the second point is really something for consultancies and agencies, that if you're going to sell a program, don't sell immersion under the guise of design research, because it muddies the waters of what good design research should do. And for each client, you have a chance to either express the value of design research, whatever you are trying to accomplish, or you have the opportunity to hurt that value.
Yeah.
And if you say, hey, we're going to sell you 2 or 3 weeks of design research, and you come back to a restaurant and your insight is people like food, they're not going to see any value in that. And that is going to hurt their ability to recognize what could be valuable in the future. So that's the main point, is if you are in a company, do not confuse these things and do not sell one as the other.
Yeah, you have to recognize that the client, whatever their business is, are mostly they are experts within their business. They have made money doing exactly things for their customers. Maybe they need to innovate. Maybe they need to change what they're doing to make sure that they keep relevant with the market. But they should be the experts into who they're working for. And you as a design agency, you come in with your vanilla background, you're not an expert on their turf, and therefore don't expect within 3 weeks to be an expert on the turf of the client.
So now, Chus, if we wanted to give some parting advice within this episode, do you have anything off the top of your head? So we end things on, we've talked about what we shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think something that designers should be doing if they want to better respect what this discipline is?
I think just relabeling what you're doing in that phase as an immersion phase. This is most often scoped out and then replaced by something called design research because it just sounds more sellable, but I think we have to be honest. And within that time, you don't only have to interview people and see what the market is like, but you also get the time to actually read up and become a little bit more of an expert, see what trends are going there. Just desk research together with these interviews will strengthen your opinion.
One specific thing that I don't see as many designers doing as I would like, and it's something that at Raft we take quite seriously, which is education around industries and verticals, and just general education.
Yeah.
So economic trends or social trends or what's going on maybe in the healthcare space or finance. You can't cover everything, right?
Legislation.
I mean, so Chus, you are currently working on a program that it has that is affected by GDPR. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you explain that very quickly?
Yeah, it's the data protection regulation that's going to come into play in less than a year or so here in Europe, which has to do with how companies work with personal data of users and how they have to protect it, how they have to handle it, and how they have to ask for permission to be able to use these things. And this is going to have a huge effect on how apps in Europe at the moment are working and how they will work in the near future. New things will become possible and old things will become impossible, and it will have a big effect.
So if when you're working on that program and you're doing research, this would be absolutely critical to know because it limits what you can do within the program that you're working on.
Yeah, and it's a little over 200 days out, which sounds like a big number, but if you're developing something new, that's actually already probably hitting before your release date.
All right, so if we come back to why that education is so important, again, you don't need to know everything. You can't know everything. But what I see so many times is that when designers are on the bench at a consultancy, meaning they're between projects, they tend to maybe read a few articles, maybe futz around on the internet a bit, but they don't turn that time into serious education time. And this is something I would really say for designers is incredibly valuable. Read more books, read more articles, listen to more podcasts, however you like to get information. Get that information in some way so that you have a general understanding of other things that are happening in the market. And that way, when you go into programs, again, you'll never understand everything, but when you go into programs, you might be able to speak more intelligently on things, and you may just have an understanding of what the unknowns are that you're dealing with.
If I have to be brutally honest, what you see happening a lot when designers are on the bench and not working, they practice hard skills. They're like, let's practice animation. Let's practice whatever programming language. And those things are really cool, but those things you can actually learn on the job. Whereas these trends and major mechanisms of how the market works and what's going to happen in the near future, learning those on the job is very detrimental to the project because you're too late.
Okay, so coming out of this, we would say, just to summarize, spend some time reading more, listening more, however you get knowledge about whatever fields that you're interested in. And then really understand what you're selling, and not just that you're selling a marketable name, but the outcome of what you're selling and what that means to a company.
Yep.
That's all right. Okay. I think the last thing I want to end, because you didn't say this during the podcast, but you said it before. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a beautiful quote, was that your knowledge should not purely be collateral from your work. And that was an incredibly beautifully worded quote. Because it's so true, right? If you just sit around and the only knowledge that you're gaining is from the actual work that you're doing, there's so much more that you could be doing. I don't care if that's spare time, I don't care if that's bench time, but there's so much more that you could be learning. And I think if designers look more at actual behavior, right? The things that we're supposed to be working on and not, Chus, what you said, those hard skills, there can be a shift in the way that design is perceived and not purely about those hard skills. And I know Photoshop too, but really about the insights and the education that you bring to a program and that you can actually have a much more intelligent conversation.
Yeah, the client shouldn't be paying for making you smarter.
Yeah. So, okay, man, well, it's been good to get back here. It's been good to talk to you again.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I'm going to be in Manila for a bit, so we may not, maybe another few weeks before we do this again, but look forward to it.
Okay.
All right, see you soon, man.
Bye.
Bye.